Good morning. It is Tuesday, the 19th of September. Obviously, I'm not Brian. I'm filling in for him at the moment as he navigates through all the school children that are heading to school. But so I will do introductions. Joining us from the UC Cooperative Extension is not Jana Valakovic.
My name is Kaylin Nylander. I'm the Community Education Specialist for Humboldt and Del Norte County 4-H.
Okay, with the 4-H folks. I know, so you work with some of the kids that participate in like some of the fairs and events?
Yeah, so we have 8 4-H clubs throughout the county, and then we also have an in-school program that incorporates 4-H curriculum into their school.
Okay. Yeah, so, now usually our host asks from the little book of answers, but since he's not here, I guess you could decide which one of these to ask him when he comes by momentarily. Okay, have you picked one?
Yep.
All right, let's see which one it is. Okay. All right. So we'll also ask this to the audience. Why, when someone we trusted turns against us, do we say that they have shown their true colors? As Alex Trebek and Ken Jennings would say on Jeopardy, you've got 30 seconds. Good luck. if I could do the Jeopardy sound effect, that'd be a lot more fitting, but alas, I cannot. Oh, okay. We were going to give the answer, but Brian just walked past the studio, I guess, to get some of that flavored water. So, looks like we'll have another 20 seconds, contestants. Oh, boy. It certainly feels like a Monday instead of a Tuesday, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Let's see. Okay, yeah, looking at the calendar, it does say it is a Tuesday, so our brains aren't playing tricks on us.
Just Monday 2.0.
Yeah. Perfect description. All right. Oh. We've been waiting for you. So, we ask this to our audience and to you. Why, when someone we trusted turns against us, do we say they have shown their true colors?
This is for me?
Yes. You weren't here in the studio, so we decided, hey, you're going to be asked a question today.
True colors. I suspect that it has something to do with the Middle Ages and the people who had money and influence had finer clothing. And were able to afford colors like purple and some of the others that were not of common.
Just a bit outside. Sailing under false colors means to sail under the enemy flag, and it was once a legitimate naval maneuver used to get close enough to the enemy for a surprise attack. At the last moment, just before opening fire, the false colors were lowered and replaced by the ship's true colors. Although such deception is now considered dishonorable, we still say, when someone we trusted reveals themselves as the enemy, that he is showing his true colors.
Huh.
And now I give the show
maritime
to you.
Hi, everybody. So, we've got lamb barbecue, huh? Barbecues and all that kind of stuff for those kids that like to raise critters, huh?
Yeah. It's our next biggest 4-H fundraiser, kind of the biggest 4-H fundraiser we do throughout the year. It'll be Sunday, October 1st from 11 to 2.
So this is for the group, not the individual kids, like with the county auction.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah. So it was started as a way for people who purchase animals at the fair to donate the meat back if it's not something they want to take home with them. So it kind of does double duty of purchasing an animal from a 4-H kid, but also that meat goes back and is a fundraiser for 4-H as well.
Who are the 4-H kids?
Well, we have, I said a little bit earlier, but we have about 8 different clubs we have in the county, and we serve over 500 4-H youth through that. We also have a in-school program that incorporates 4-H curriculum into their education.
It used to be part of the ag, at least at Eureka High when I went through, it used to be part of the ag program. You'd see, you know, the blue corduroy jackets.
Well, that's FFA. So
right, but a lot of them then linked over. So what I would see is the blue jackets and then the green hat.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, somebody messed up in the fashion department.
Yeah. So you can do 4-H from the time you're 5 to you're 19, and then you can do FFA from your high school. So we have a lot of kids who do double duty and do a little bit of both.
I would think that either you like it or you don't. You know, you are or you're not, and that there's a lot of that blending back and forth, and that some of the skills and knowledge gained from 4-H make their way into FFA, and some of the stuff that they learn there make their way into the 4-H program also.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to see kind of their leadership skills develop. I've been in the job for a little bit over a year, so just seeing where some of the kids were at when I started to where they're at now, it's really exciting to see how 4-H helps them grow and really feel comfortable in themselves.
Do people often ask what the H's are?
What the ages are?
H's.
H's, yeah. It is a little fun fact I think people are always curious about.
Health.
That's one of them, definitely.
I was thinking humanity. That's probably not one of them, though.
No.
Health. Without cheating. Hospitality? No. Forehead.
Close. Head.
Oh. Head, heart?
Yep.
Interesting, body parts. Okay. And the fourth is
humility. Head, heart, hand, and health.
Hand. So 3 body parts.
Yeah. And then it correlates to the 4-H pledge.
Ah, and the super secret handshake too?
At least I haven't learned about it yet.
Oh, we'll talk about the 4-H's when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Kaylin Nylander from 4-H. We talked about what the 4-H's were. Okay, let me see. And I did not write them down, so this is short-term memory or failure thereof. Hand, heart, head, and I forgot the one that I had on my own. Health?
Yes.
Yeah, memory's not one of those H's. What is the area that 4-H focuses on the most of those 4-H's? Which one is the one that really is kind of like the lead dog?
I would say probably head would be the closest. I think developing leadership skills and confidence within kids is probably our strongest attribute we try to focus on. I think 4-H has a lot more opportunity than just the traditional animal projects a lot of people think of when they think of 4-H. So I think just providing opportunity and experience for those kids to develop themselves as leaders and then as future members of our community.
Do a lot of the youngsters that start with a program stick with it for a long period? I'm trying to think, probably a lot of folks would see the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts or I guess whatever it's called anymore. As being a parallel you know, you can start small and you can go all the way through high school. Is 4-H similar, and do the kids, if they start, do they tend to stick with?
Yeah, so the age ranges for 4-H are 5 to 19. There's some projects that are more geared towards younger kids that they can start as early as 5, but then kind of our...
So what would one of those be?
We have, like, arts and crafts, things like that, cake decorating, outdoor adventure.
I always excelled in cake eating.
Yeah. I think that's one of the perks. Oh,
is that one of them? Okay.
But then once they reach 9 is when they can start really showing livestock at the fairs, and kind of that's who people see at the fairs, is those 9 and above age kids, but they can show and they can be a part of 4-H until they're 19.
Is there, beyond 19, are there adult programs that are comparable, or is it just the real world?
I would say beyond 19, we encourage people to come back and volunteer for 4-H. I think a lot of our volunteers we have now had positive experience in 4-H themselves, and they want to provide that opportunity either for their kids or for other youth in the community. So we don't have any similar to 4-H leadership-wise, but we do encourage people to come back and volunteer for 4-H.
What's the biggest surprise people have if they weren't involved and their kid gets involved with 4-H? Is there an aha or a wow or something like that, or is it something else?
I would say just kind of all the opportunity that 4-H has. I think stereotypically people think of 4-H as livestock projects, and that definitely is kind of one of our pillars within 4-H. But we are also a lot more than that. We have leadership development projects. We have civic projects. Community service is a huge pillar of ours. So we really encourage people to see all the projects that 4-H offers, not just the animal-based projects.
Plant-based?
Yeah,
are there botany programs?
We have different gardening projects. We actually had a ton of youth participate in the veggie auction at the fair this year.
And oh, cool.
Yeah, they got to sell produce that they grew.
That's, I would think something like vegetables that have a shorter cycle to maturity, to being able to see the results, could really make some kids really excited a lot faster than, okay, you have a cow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you got to clean it, and you got to feed it, and you got to, so much more time, and the results are so much more elongated.
Yeah, it's a really exciting project and experience, and just seeing how proud they are bringing in their veggies on the first day of the fair and getting to see what they place and getting to sell those is really exciting. And it also encourages a lot of people who may not have the time or opportunity to raise a livestock project to be able to participate at the fair as well.
In space.
Yeah.
What are some of the, do you chronicle the stories, or I guess you'd be videotaping some of the stories and the testimonials that the kids will do as they go through the program, or right after one of the critters is sold, or the veggies come through, or they get recognition for one of their programs? Is that being cataloged now?
On a monthly basis, we share our club reporters' reports on our Facebook page. And so they kind of keep us in touch with what's going on within the clubs and share a lot of the exciting pictures that you may not see that are behind-the-scene pictures or things like that. And then also another thing that I really enjoy is listening to the stories of the 4-H seniors who are receiving scholarships and seeing how 4-H has played and affected their lives and what they're going to take with them going forward.
Some of the bigger splashes.
Yeah.
The deep end of the pool, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there are scholarships specifically for 4-H kids, or those that go through the programs have had the experiences that then allow them to qualify for some of the other scholarships?
Yeah, we actually offer scholarships for 4-H youth. That is part of what the Lamb Barbecue Fundraiser raises funds for, is the scholarship program. We award typically, I would say, 4 to new recipients each year, and then we have returning scholarship recipients that can receive the scholarship up to 4 years.
Oh, okay. So do they re-qualify, or are they 4-year programs as long as they maintain a GPA or something?
Once they've been awarded the scholarship, they have 4 years that they can reapply for it. So as long as they have been awarded it, then they have that opportunity.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Kaylin Nylander from 4-H. The lamb barbecue, and I guess the auctions at the county fair and the Redwood Acres fair, those are probably the three signature events, aren't they, for 4-H that are year in and year out?
Yeah, I definitely think they're our largest annual events and kind of where 4-H is recognized most in the community, for sure.
But there are lots of other activities that the various clubs do.
Yeah, we have various activities that the clubs do, but also activities we do on the county level. We do our county presentation day in March, which is where youth come in and present on different projects they have, and they can move on to regional and state.
That's not with the county budget process. That happens in March also.
No.
But that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you'll know if Yana listens to this show or not. That would be so cool. Of course, now it's been exposed, but I, you know, not jot that one down for next year. I would think, you know, you talk about public safety and kids' involvement and diversion and all the magic phrases that get thrown around at the county. 4-H would
really put the kids at the front.
Yeah, all right, I'll send her a note. Weird idea, but a lot of these different programs. So March, it's a local event, and then whatever the standard is that they're judged against, then some are able to
advance. Yeah,
they can
move on regionally and then statewide as well. We actually had great representation last year. We had 15 youth go on to the state level from Humboldt County alone.
And the region is north of the Bay Area?
So it is kind of the northern counties. So I would say Del Norte, Humboldt, and then Mendocino and Lake. But kind of any regional presentation day they have throughout the state, you can attend.
So what were some of the projects that were presented?
They're as simple as kind of how to change a tire, and it's these young little kids teaching us how to change a tire, to as complex as like embryo development and things like that. Just really exciting STEM-based learning activities that the kids are really interested in.
So I was wondering, it's STEM, STEAM, or whatever, pick your favorite acronym, that's the area of concentration rather than
kind of the educational aspects that 4-H focuses on. So that's where the presentation bases kind of fall.
Well, that would kind of line up really nicely then.
Yeah.
For some of the kids that go through those programs. Is there any involvement with either CR or Humboldt interacting, or kids there that either have gone 4-H or that are looking to support? If you're anticipating working with kids or anticipating working with families.
We have a lot of our 4-H youth that actually go on to CR or Humboldt State. So the things they learned in 4-H really prepared them for that educational step. We don't have a ton of volunteers coming in from the colleges specifically, but we're always open to new volunteers.
Yeah, I would think that if somebody's knocked on the door and said, hey, I got 10 hours a week, what do you need me to do?
Yeah.
You'd be able to find something.
Yeah, we'll put them to work.
And they get the hat.
No.
If they volunteer?
No.
No, that's just for the members?
Yeah.
Is there a financial component to this?
to 4-H? Yeah. So there's an enrollment fee that you pay at the beginning of the year when you're filling out your enrollment. Right now is actually kind of our enrollment period. But once you pay that fee, it you're covered throughout the year.
Is that a, obviously it's a financial support for the various items, but are there kids that aren't able to? I mean, is there like a scholarship program if people want to donate?
We have a Humboldt County management team that kind of manages all the funds for the county 4-H system, and they provide scholarships to youth who it may be a financial burden for them to enroll in 4-H.
Or for some of the programs that they want to then get involved with after they're there. I would think it would be tough if somebody's all fired up and they're not able to participate.
Yeah, we try to break down as many barriers as we can to make sure kids can be a part of the program.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back talking shop this morning with Kaylin Nylander from 4-H. So you got the barbecue coming up. What is the barbecue? What is the experience if somebody shows up? Is it just slabs of lamb?
No, you can get a plate for $12, or if you want to buy a family ticket, that serves four, and that's $40. You get a choice of meat, or you can also do a little bit of everything.
Sampler.
Yeah, if you want to try all the different meat options. And then there's a potato side and chili and lots of other sides that come with it as well. It starts at 11 and it goes...
Lamb chili?
No, just
okay.
Just chili. But it starts at 11, it goes till 2. We'll have the barbecue, a dessert auction as well, if anyone has a sweet tooth out there.
Nah.
And then we'll also do an awards event to honor some of our 4-H'ers in the county as well.
So it's more of a celebration as well in combination with the fundraiser rather than a pure fundraiser.
Yeah, we try to get as many people out there as we can and just let them see what 4-H is all about.
Now, I presume that you don't do this out in a field.
No, it is at Rohnert Park in Fortuna, so we use their picnic area dining facilities.
Oh, okay.
And you can come sit down and enjoy the barbecue. You can also get a to-go plate and just swing in our drive-through line and swing out.
Yeah, but then you're smelling it and you're trying to eat as you drive, and that's probably not too cool either. So with the event itself, what is the participation level? I mean, I would think that you could go through an awful lot of meat. Are these donated meats? Are these purchased meats?
The meat is actually all donated from 4-H projects through the fair. A lot of people purchase meat at the fair, but they're not really sure what to do with it or don't have the space to really put it anywhere. So they donate it back to our program, and then we're able to use all that donated meat in our fundraiser itself.
Can you just buy meat? I mean, if somebody wanted let's say they're a big lamb fan, could they?
Yeah, actually, last year in the past, we had so much extra meat that at the end of the barbecue, we were selling bags of cooked meat by the bag, and if you wanted it, you could purchase it.
So ideally, you want to be there early and late.
Yeah.
that opens up a possibility of all kinds of things, doesn't it?
Definitely.
When you are talking to the youngsters and they're getting involved, how do they participate in the barbecue?
Yeah, the event is put on by all volunteer and 4-H youth. So it's dependent on age range, definitely on how involved they can be. But they are the ones serving the meals. They are the ones prepping the food. They are the ones kind of getting those to-go orders out as well. Taking orders, they're involved in the whole process of the barbecue.
So they're getting their hands, well, I guess it wouldn't be dirty, would it? Sticky.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're seeing kids out there working the event, those are 4-H'ers.
Now, do they get a chance to do some of the barbecuing themselves?
The barbecue is actually done by volunteers, luckily, I think. they have the experience that some of the kids might not have, but they do, they help kind of with all the process, and the volunteers are really good about showing them what's going on or why they're doing what they're doing.
How long is the event?
It is from 11 to 2.
Okay, so it's like after church kind of thing.
Yeah.
Can you pre-order?
Yeah, all the 4-H clubs have tickets available for sale. They have individual tickets as well as family tickets, so you can connect with them, or if you want to come by our office on Humboldt Hill, you can buy tickets from there as well.
You mean Spruce Point?
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't really want to have that one disappear. If a community doesn't have a 4-H chapter, how do they go about setting one up?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a process, but I think the most important thing is to know there's interest within your community and within the youth. You have to have a certain amount of youth and volunteer participation.
10, 12 kids kind of thing?
I would say it's about like 6 youth and 2 adults to start it, and then you could just grow from there. We have, within the county, we have smaller clubs, we have larger clubs, and they really do help serve the community that they're based out of.
So it's kind of like a neighborhood.
Definitely.
I mean, if they're serving that community, it's not Humboldt County. It's their neighborhood.
Yeah, the clubs are kind of based throughout the county. We, as far north as Arcata Bottom 4-H and as far south as Marina 4-H. But you're not dependent on where you're from. You don't have to go to the closest one. If there's one club that has a project you're really interested in, but they're 40 minutes away, you can, and you want to travel that time, you can travel that time.
So McKinleyville and Oric and Trinidad don't have?
A lot of them go to Arcata Bottom 4-H. They actually are the club this year that's hosting Lamb Barbecue. But yeah, you can travel and go wherever you want if they have a project that interests you.
What's the most exciting, if you were a kid, what project right now is the one that's got you would have you most excited?
I think all of them, really. I think all the clubs are really doing exciting things and really providing opportunities for their youth and unique opportunities for youth that they may not be getting without 4-H.
What are some of the programs in the past or projects in the past that folks might recognize?
If you have been to the fair, you'll recognize any of those livestock projects. You'll recognize, we have a lot of community service projects, so it's really exciting to see what they're going out and doing in their communities and the different organizations they're partnering with.
Also, a lot of times they're hooking up with an existing effort.
So a lot of 4-H clubs will help with Rotary events because they've been really generous to their clubs in the past. They'll help with community events out in their different areas.
So it's almost like they're labor for some of these programs.
Definitely. I think it's
but
nice.
But a little bit more involvement.
It's nice to have youth involvement and experience and see what the next generation is going to look like.
Well, yeah, and I would think, you mentioned Rotary, they're going to have the kids involved at a lot of levels, not just showing up the day of the event.
Yeah,
and then some of the planning and the cleanup and the follow-through and all that stuff.
They've been really generous to our clubs in the past as well, so I think there's a long-standing relationship with them, but I also think it's just, I think 4-H'ers learn community service and community involvement really young, so I think it's a natural step for them once they leave the 4-H realm to want to be a part of an organization somehow that helps in their area of the community.
And so I don't get lit up, yes, or Optimist and Kiwanis and Chambers of Commerce and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If a business wants to get involved or help support, give you a buzz?
Yeah, you can call the county office, and then if it's something that you want to do county-wise or you're interested in a specific club, we can help you from there as well.
What about buying some of the you mentioned the vegetables. Well, not all vegetables come in at the same time. Is there opportunity for folks to purchase some of the vegetables? Do you guys have like a veggie or a fruit stand somewhere that folks could take advantage of?
Not locally. We do recommend hitting the veggie auction at the fair if that's something you're interested in. It is a really exciting project, but it is...
Or farmer's market, I guess, would be the logical one.
Yeah, definitely. But if you want to see the 4-H'ers out in their uniforms walking around the auction ring selling their all their veggies. It is a really exciting event that happens during the fair.
Is that in time for the tomato toss?
I don't know.
I, you know, as long as Rex is out there auctioning or buying, you know, he, I got you with that one, huh? more information, again, just give you a buzz out at the Cooperative Extension and find out from there. Does the website have an awful lot of the base level?
Yeah, we shared a lot of our information. If you're interested in enrolling in 4-H, there's how to enroll in 4-H as a volunteer or as a youth. There's kind of our website updates on what's going on in the program, the opportunities there, and we'll have updates like on events like Lamb Barbecue as well.
Very cool. And again, it's a week from this week, or a week from this Sunday.
Yes, October 1st.
In Fortuna. Mm-hmm. So it's not too far of a drive for anybody listening.
Kind of right central for everyone, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Drive through meat. That's weird. Convenient, I understand, but I'm thinking of a drive-through butcher shop. It just doesn't really, if you can do it for hamburgers and pancakes, I suppose
it's
you
cooked,
can.
So you can pull over and eat it if you
do
get
it that way. And you can buy it by the pound?
Yeah.
If you want.
At the end of the barbecue, we do sell meat, cooked meat.
That way.
If that's something.
But not the drive-through necessarily.
No.
Okay, fine. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow.